covet an interest, continued interest in your prayers. If you were here last Sunday, I think I probably introduced this subject, or I said it's a subject I plan to preach about in the future, and the title is Courtship That Glorifies God. Courtship That Glorifies God. I realize I'm speaking maybe to a little narrow audience this morning, and some of you are just going to have to listen in. But there is Bible principles I hope that we can gather together. Primarily preaching probably to the young people this morning, although also to parents, because as we think about these subjects, we believe it's a parent's responsibility to guide the younger ones. To the dating couple or two that's here this morning, don't feel like you're in the hot seat because this message was born maybe before your courtship was. So just get that rested in your mind right now. I'm not preaching at you particularly. As you're a youth, a young person, this is probably a question you ponder from time to time. You spend time thinking about what is God's will for me in finding a marriage partner. Maybe particularly you young men, because you are the one that is expected to lead out and initiate the quest. And in a way, this is a subject which the Bible has little to say about in a direct way. There's very few scripture verses that you can go to and say, this is how God outlines that I find a marriage partner, that I start courtship. And I believe some of that is we live in a very culturally different time than the time when the Bible was written. And the way we approach this quest or the way we approach marriage is quite different than how marriages were arranged in the day when Jesus walked on the earth. And I think we recognize that. And I don't know there's anything wrong with that. I think if God would have wanted it to be done in a very specific way, he would have given us some very specific instructions. We've been married a little less than 5 years, and I feel like I'm one of the younger ones here this morning. And so older ones, if I say something misguided or incorrect, feel free to correct me later on in the testimony time or after the service. So the purpose of this message is just simply to discuss some Bible foundations for Christian courtship. Last Sunday we talked more specifically about personal purity, and Lord willing, I think the next time I preach in 2 weeks, I will plan to bring a message more directly related to the subject of godly marriages. I believe it is good for you young people, those of you who are not dating, to set high ideals and standards and then stand on them and for them. What is Christian courtship? Maybe we should start off by asking that question a little more specifically. Maybe I can define that in a few sentences here just to get the backdrop to this sermon. What am I talking about when I'm saying courtship that glorifies God? What is a Christian courtship? Purpose of a Christian courtship should be entering relationship to learn to know each other, maybe to determine compatibility and evaluate character before committing to the lifelong bond of marriage, because we believe that the Bible is very clear in teaching that marriage is for life, one man and one woman, and we don't believe that should be separated according to God's word. And so, specifically, a Christian courtship is not just a social casual relationship, but it is a relationship to learn to love each other. It's not necessarily love at first sight, but it is evaluating the question, is this the person I choose to love for the rest of my life? It's a character study, in a sense, a character study of the one I am dating, I choose to date. just a few scriptural verses, a scriptural backdrop here maybe, scriptural principles you could call them. Turn with me to the book of Genesis, chapters 1 and 2, and I want to pull out a few verses here, maybe more specifically about marriage, but I believe it provides a little backdrop. I have about 6 different points here that I want to pull from the scripture, and then we want to look at some practical admonition. First one I pulled here, in the creation, after God had created everything, in Genesis 2, verse 18, "And the Lord God said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make an helpmeet for him." So it's a creation principle that man was not created to live alone. And ever after that, this quest of man to find a wife. It is also a creation principle. The second one is back in Genesis 1:28, and God created man, verse 27, and male and female created he them, and God blessed them, and God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth." And so we have this creation principle of multiplication, and that happens through marriage. And so this quest of courtship is part of fulfilling that creation principle as well. Another verse, Proverbs 18:22, and I'm just jumping through these quickly here. Like I said, the Bible has no specific passages you can turn to specifically to just teach about courtship. Proverbs 18, verse 22 says this, "Whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord." Suggests a blessing on the Lord, and it suggests that the man is initiating the leadership role in that quest to find a wife. Now, I'd like if you would turn with me back to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. This is an admonition on marriage, and there are some specific admonitions here as we consider finding a life partner. Specific things here that actually come through fairly clear. One of them that comes through fairly clear in this chapter and in some other chapters, in chapter 7, verse 39, it's talking about a widow who wishes to remarry after her husband has deceased, after her husband is dead. And it gives a specific instruction, "Let her marry only in the Lord." Now just keep your finger there at 1 Corinthians 7, sorry. We're going to be back to that chapter. But I'm going to refer to some other verses in the meantime. So one of the scriptural commands as you're considering a life partner is only in the Lord. There are some other verses that say the same thing, such as 2 Corinthians 6, verse 14. It tells us not to be unequally yoked together with an unbeliever. And that has much broader applications than just marriage, but it definitely includes marriage. It will never work if you seek to be married to an unbeliever while you're a Christian, because your interests, your drives in life are just at opposition with each other, and it's conflict from the beginning. So marry only in the Lord. Both parties need to be a Christian. 1 Corinthians 15:33 would say, evil companions corrupt your character. I'm just paraphrasing that. 1 Corinthians 15, evil communications corrupt good manners, and that's old English. Evil companions will corrupt your character. I'm pointing out what you want to be looking at in a life partner. Also, in the Old Testament, there's a verse in the book of Amos 3:3, "Can two walk together except they be agreed?" So the most important thing I can say it this way. The most important Bible principle, I believe, is this. When you are contemplating the subject, young man, when you are deciding which one God wants you to ask, young lady, when you have the letter in your hand, make sure it is in the Lord. Make sure of their character in God. And that is also the reason then for continuing on in the courtship as you continue on, and we'll get to some more of that later, but make sure of their godly character. Back to 1 Corinthians 7, verse 9. It gives a principle, it is better to marry than to burn. And I will say this, Paul goes on to talk about the gift of, can I say, the gift of singleness, and he wishes that all would remain as he was, single. And I will say, it's not God's will, obviously, for everyone to be single, but for some, I do believe it is God's will to be single. And if God gives you that gift, I'm not here to hold up marriage as the ultimate solution to your problems this morning. If God has given you the gift of singleness, and Paul talks about here in this passage about how the single people have a single mind to only serve God, whereas the married people have to serve their spouse and God, there's definitely some truth in that. But it is better to marry than to burn simply suggests it is a normal, God-given, natural desire from creation. The sixth principle I have written down here is abstain from all appearance of evil. That's 1 Thessalonians 5:22. As you engage, as you say yes, as you start Christian courtship, as you date, abstain from all appearance of evil. 2 Timothy 2:22, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. And 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 7, God has not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. If you want more on that, listen to last Sunday's message, as I believe it is important that both parties engaged in the courtship know what it means to possess their vessels, to live a pure life, and as they begin the courtship, and as they continue the courtship, those pressures will only become harder. But if you didn't know how to before you started, you won't have a foundation for the courtship. Okay. Practical thoughts here. A courtship that glorifies God will. And I put six thoughts down under that point. A courtship that glorifies God will. Number one. Courtship that glorifies God will seek to acknowledge God and find his direction for entering the sacred bond of marriage. A courtship that glorifies God will, number one, seek to acknowledge God and find his direction for entering the sacred bond of marriage. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 gives us that admonition. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. And some simple ways, you acknowledge God by praying about it, through prayer. You acknowledge God through godly counsel, through the involvement of godly authority, such as your parents and church leaders. He will guide you, but you need to seek him. I remember listening to one message one time. Actually, it was at a wedding, I think, and the preacher there said that sometimes finding a life's partner can be like riding a roller coaster. It has a lot of twists and turns, and you just need to make sure you have your seatbelt securely fastened. Each one of you needs to be personally rooted and grounded in a relationship with Jesus Christ. He will direct you. One of the ways He guides is through His Word, and we already looked at some of His guidelines, such as the one about marrying only in the Lord. And that really narrows down your choices. But I will say this, another way He guides is through personal choices. I want to make it clear that both the young man and the young lady has a choice and a decision to make in the matter. And a God-honoring young man will honor a young lady's decision, whether it is yes or no. God leaves some things for us to choose personally, and we need to respect each other's choices. Number two, a courtship that glorifies God will recognize that godly character outweighs physical beauty and charm. Courtship that glorifies God will recognize that godly character outweighs physical beauty and charm. Proverbs 31:30, charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord is to be praised. And so ask yourself the question, what will my partner be like in 25 or in 50 years from now? If all that held us together was the youthful beauty, what will happen when the youthful beauty ages? Look for and evaluate the godly character and the Christian graces. These will abide the test of time and in fact grow stronger and more beautiful as the one you love continues to walk in their relationship with God. Look for and evaluate the godly character and the Christian graces. What would happen if on your honeymoon you would have a life-changing accident? Would you still choose to love? There's stories. I was reading a story as I was preparing for this message on the honeymoon. And they came back and said, your partner is crippled for life. If you built your relationship on the physical beauty and charm, that just went out the window. But if you build it on the godly character, I trust it would still remain even and grow in the hard times of life. Number three, a courtship that glorifies God will continue to value other human relationships throughout the time of dating and into marriage. Okay, that was another mouthful. It will continue to value other human relationships throughout the time of dating and into marriage. Sometimes I've observed couples that start dating and maybe just all their other friendships disappear, or all they have time for is each other. And I will say this, it's unfair to think that relationships will not change at all. We need to recognize that relationships are fluid and they will change, but they do not need to end. I've also been the recipient of it the other way. Maybe some, as you start dating, some of your single friends will tend to write you off and not want to spend time with you. And that's the flip side of it as well. I don't think that needs to happen. I suggest it doesn't. And I suggest it's healthy for the young couple to maintain good relationships with their single friends and to keep them up. Too much alone time is not healthy for the dating relationship, although some is very necessary. Too much alone time is saying just you and the one you're dating, although some is necessary, but you need to spend time and value other relationships. Learn to build those relationships and continue those relationships with the one you are dating. Continue to value other human relationships. If the Lord tarries and your relationship, your dating relationship leads into marriage, you will value and you will want those other relationships. A courtship that glorifies God, number four. A courtship that glorifies God will start to build godly structure and be involved in activities that can continue into marriage. And by saying starting to build godly structure, a courtship should start with the young man taking his leadership role that he will need to continue into marriage, his God-given leadership role. It should start with activities like this, like reading the Bible and praying together when you're with each other. And if you're musically talented, maybe you can learn to sing together. Some of us, that doesn't work as well as others. Definitely attending church together, learning to serve others together in your courtship. That should not wait till marriage. Talked in the Sunday school class about visiting the old people and many other service activities that can be engaged in and should be engaged in. It's part of learning to know each other. How does the one I am dating, how does he serve others? How will this look like if we're married? How will he serve in our relationship, and how will he serve in the church? And what is his commitment level? And what, yeah. As you read the Bible and pray together, and as he takes his leadership role, you learn where you're at in your spiritual relationship with God. It's an important evaluation. Build those activities. Build that structure. Can start it early in your courtship. Start it right away. Young man, start taking your leadership role if you haven't, even before you were dating. Number five, courtship that glorifies God will recognize courtship as the time to build strong spiritual and emotional bonds. Along with that, it will be committed to a pure courtship. I still stand and will defend the hands-off policy. And by that I mean no sensual touch. Avoid sensuality in courtship at all and at every cost. And be honest. Be honest with yourself what is sensual. Sometimes we can deny, or we can play games with sensuality and we can deny what it is. No petting, caressing, holding hands. And recognize, if I can just say this, that each of these is just another tool in the devil's toolbox meant to excite the passions for the one flesh act which God has clearly designed is reserved for marriage. I said start with high ideals and stick to them. Don't back down. Don't take steps in that direction. A courtship that is built on physical excitement and aroused passions is a major contributor to a marriage disaster. And there is studies and there is reasons for that. And I could say a lot more on that. But if the physical takes over too early in the relationship, you will never learn who the spiritual person is. You will never really learn who the other person is. Because the pleasure overrides the obvious character defects and makes them easier to overlook. And I submit this, the goal of dating should be to learn to know the person as a whole, not just physical attraction. And again, I said, be honest. Don't make excuses. Call it what it is. If it brings you no pleasure, then why do you want to be partaking in it? And if it does bring you pleasure, sensual pleasure, then it's sin before marriage. I believe the Bible is very clear in that. 1 Corinthians 10, verses 12 to 13 say this, "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." Generally, we evaluate ourselves as stronger than we are. And I would just say, do not give the devil that place. If God leads you to courtship, don't give him the place to yield, to take your finger in sensuality in your courtship. And the last point, number six. Courtship that glorifies God will enter into marriage with a strong relationship that is built around the Lord Jesus. And we need godly homes. We need godly homes that start with godly courtships. We need godly homes that are committed to serving the Lord Jesus Christ at all cost. We need godly homes that are centered around the Lord Jesus, not centered around each other, not centered around self-service, not centered around the bride. We need godly homes that are centered around the Lord. And courtship is the time you set the foundation for that home. You set the foundation for the rest of your life together. Use it wisely. Seek God in every aspect of it. Continue to seek Him. It's not just seeking Him to find the partner. It's continuing to seek Him as you learn to know each other, and continuing to seek Him, what is God's will for marriage, and what is God's will for us as a couple together. In closing, if you are considering courtship, first of all, be committed to holiness and godliness in your personal life. Be committed to having high standards and live up to them. It seems maybe there's inroads coming in among us again of swinging the other way of courtship. For many years, I thought we had foundations, good foundations of courtship, and now I start to see things that I wonder about. And I just say this, be committed. Be committed to a pure courtship. Be committed to stand out. It's nothing wrong with making personal lines that others have not made and following through with them. God bless you, young people. Courtship can be a very wonderful time, a very rewarding time as it leads into marriage. And maybe this isn't a normal Sunday morning subject, but I don't think we've heard one around here for a long time. And I just bless you as parents, as you give direction to your children, to your youth, to your young ones coming up as well in this matter. Let's kneel for prayer.